Okay, gentlemen, welcome back, and I want to say thank you again to Rick Paul for last week with our lesson on prayer. And guys, I just want to keep encouraging you. Don't let that just be a one-time shot. Say, oh yeah, prayer is really important. The challenge is to pray. And, you know, you've got to hear me again. What's really a passion on my heart is I really believe that when tough times are here, it's God's reminder to us that we need to come to Him in prayer. And when you think of these difficulties and things, always remember the spiritual armor that God gives us, as you find in Ephesians chapter 6. But a key to that whole thing is prayer. Otherwise, what you basically have religion. You got a lot of religion. But prayer is when you are in communication, there's a relationship developing between you and the Lord. And check in with Him and say, Lord, what's on your agenda today? I'm listening. And that means that you just don't throw your laundry list at God every day. That means you come, you share with Him praise, worship, confession, and then you listen. And let God speak to you through His Word. So let that be a really important...
Pastor Steve, and you mentioned Ephesians. This coming Wednesday, the Joy Bible Study is restarting. Pastor Steve is going to be teaching on Ephesians.
Yep.
So it's a women's Bible study, but they let us...
Well, no. It's men and women now. Come on now. All right.
Well, we have Pastor Jesus. We have a whole bunch of guys that show up. I know some of you guys' wives are there. They're coming and joining us. It's going to be a great study.
You bet.
You're saying come at our own risk.
You can come at your own risk,
yeah. You go at your own risk. Thanks, Pepe. All right, very good. Well, listen, 1 Corinthians, what a challenging letter. And as you know, that's why I titled it that God Speaks to Californians, because it really does speak to us. And you kind of think of this church being in Corinth and kind of metropolitan kind of a church and all kinds of, it's international. People come from all different nations and so forth, and Paul plants a church. But the interesting thing is that church, these are Christians, they're saints. I mean, that's what Paul calls them. And yet at the same time, a lot of problems. And so much of the problems, the issues that Paul has to speak to this church is their spirit pride. It's their immaturity. It's their lack of sensitivity. Though they will have a relationship with God. They have the spiritual gifts and all this kind of thing, and yet they often treat each other just like dirt. And the sad thing is that, you know, we don't understand that Christianity isn't just right theology. Christianity is relationships. God creates a new community. It's a body of believers. That's why I keep reminding you, always remember your name. Your name is Christian. You belong to Christ. And that's so vitally important. And not only are you a new community, you are a body of Christ. That's why this 12th chapter was such a phenomenal chapter, because Paul was reminding us that we're like a body. And look at the different parts of that body. You got hands and wrists and elbows, but it all working together, because we not only are a community relationship together, we also realize that we are an arm of the Lord to serve Him with all our spiritual giftedness and so forth. And in the middle of all of that, we realize that we are a holy temple. God dwells within us. And that's what's so beautiful. It isn't just again, kind of doing our own thing. God dwells within us. But we now come to that end of the 12th chapter, and Paul's been talking about this spiritual gift. Now, keep in mind, though, Paul has been addressing problems, issues. And one of the key issues that he's kind of been leading up to is actually two things. 12 through 14, and then 15 deals with resurrection, and that's a big issue. We'll be getting to that. But here, you think there's three chapters, and what is he really focusing on? There's a pride issue within that church, because they began to look at themselves and each other in light of what they were capable of doing, the giftedness with which God gifted them, and especially the gift of tongues. That becomes a big thing. So to address that, Paul begins with chapter 12 and lays out exactly what are spiritual gifts, what are they for, what's the whole purpose of. So he lays this whole groundwork, and notice how he concludes here. Look at this here in chapter 12. He says here, chapter 12, verse 29. Chapter 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? So he's basically saying, look, I want you to know something. Everybody doesn't have all the gifts. You know, we all don't have all the gifts. We have a gift, and God gives it to us. We don't have them all. But then he stops. He says, okay, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he's going to talk about what he refills is a very important gift. And we'll get into chapter 14. We'll talk about that. But now notice what he says. And now I must show you the most excellent way. So there's a reason here. He comes now and he says, look, you guys have been dealing with all the gifted stuff and pride issues and so forth. But I want you to know there is something far more important here. And I want to show it. I want to talk about it. Now listen to what he says. I'm going to read chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all the mystery and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there's prophecies, they'll cease. Where there's tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now, we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now, I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Powerful passage, powerful passage. He's basically saying, look, you've got to remember something, that with all these gifts and so forth, that's... Gifts are not the sign of spiritual maturity. Gifts are there for the functioning of the body to do work of ministry. But you've got to understand what's the core of it all? It's love. So let's take a peek at this and see how we did with your study here. What I did, I broke this chapter up into three sections, and this is what I basically said. Love. Love is more than ability. It's more than attitude. It's more than affection. It's action. Love is more than activity. It is adaptation. So that's kind of what we're going to look at. It's, first of all, it's not just ability. It's an attitude. So let's look at that. Those first three verses. What three spiritual gifts that Paul compares? What three spiritual gifts does Paul compare in importance to love? What'd you find, Dick?
Speaking in tongues,
okay.
Prophecy, and charity.
Okay. Now, yes, God. It's so funny, all these different sounds, you know. Yes, okay. So here you have Paul, and he starts off and he says, look, here are these fantastic gifts, okay, these fantastic gifts, and he says, you know, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, okay, but then he goes on, he says, prophecy, knowledge, you know, if I have faith and remove mountains, and the key, of course, is love. Now, let's look at this for a minute. When the question is not on your sheet here now. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, what? How many? What's he talking about here? What tongues of men and of angels? What's he dealing here?
And one is given that cannot be understood among them in tongues. Therefore, can interpret it in tongues.
Okay.
There is a language apparently. I wasn't aware of that speaks directly to God that is not interpretable. I don't know if I have that correct or not.
Okay, that's very good. Now, the first place, when you look at this, you've got to realize now, you know, speaking in tongues. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 2. When Pentecost took place, what kind of tongues are we dealing with? So let us start with that, okay? Acts chapter 2, all right? Let's look at this. Turn there. Day of Pentecost. Oh, very good. Now notice here, it talks about, it says in verse 4 of chapter 2, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now the interesting thing is, verse 6, what does it say? Will someone read verse 6 for me? 2:6. Who's got that? Right here. Go ahead, James.
When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one had their own language being spoken.
Okay, so when we talk about tongues, what is the real definition of these tongues?
Other human understandable languages.
A human understandable languages. It was there, okay? And then it goes on, he defines it even more in the next couple of verses. It even describes Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and Mesopotamia. In other words, you know, granted, a lot of these people, they came from these places. Now, you know, basically they understood Hebrew. That was the native tongue of the Jewish people. But you remember that there's also these other areas. Now, my background is from the Netherlands. And, you know, there are provinces in the Netherlands. And my folks were Frisians, okay? It's very close to German. But it's different. Holland was the main language, yet Frisian, a lot of the Holland people cannot understand the Frisians. And, you know, but there's all these, the Groningen and different ones, and they all have kind of a dialect. But the interesting thing is, in this Acts passage, it is basically saying, as the apostles began to speak, they spoke in these different languages and dialects, and they understood it, okay? So now you look a little further now. Now you get into chapter 14. Just touch on this a little ahead of time here. Chapter 14, look at verse 2. Okay, would someone pick up 1 Corinthians? Go ahead, Jim.
But the Jews who disbelieved.
No, I'm in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm sorry, I said 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2.
Okay. All who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands
him.
But his spirit, he speaks mysteries.
Okay, let's stop right there. Now, notice there's something different here, isn't there? Here, the first one we're talking in Acts, they were saying the men understood them in their language. Here it says something totally different. It's saying, for anyone who speaks in a tongue. Now he's addressing something different, a tongue, but notice how he defines it. Does not speak to men, but to God. You see the difference? So now you get back into chapter 13, and notice again, if I speak in the, what is that word there?
Tongues of men.
Okay, but notice it's plural, isn't it?
Tongue.
Tongues of who?
Men.
men and of angels. So I think you need to keep in mind what Paul is dealing with. He's not talking about the Pentecost experience where people, I mean, the apostles actually spoke in other languages that other men understood. Here he's speaking, he's saying, this is what they call a glossolalia. And what's interesting about this, as you study this further, granted, the Holy Spirit, this was a Holy Spirit kind of a thing, but you also have to understand that they're the other religions, and they also did stuff like that. Now, that they didn't speak by the Holy Spirit, but there were oracles.
Is Go ahead. Speaking of both languages and...
Yes, now he's speaking both. Right. Okay. Now he says, I want you to understand something now. I'm speaking about both. Even if I'm with Wycliffe, okay, and I'm interpreting, I'm doing all these other language studies and all this kind of stuff, and have not love, I mean, hey, what's it all for? See? All right? So understand what we're dealing with here. He's dealing with the second kind. He deals with both, but he's emphasizing the fact that there's a problem here in this church. You're taking pride in one particular gift. And, you know, I got news for you. Don't park over there with, you know, so you speak in tongues. Oh, but yeah, but I have heavenly language. I can talk to angels. Well, praise the Lord, wonderful, but a lot of good that does me. I don't understand you. Right? That's what he's saying. And we'll get more into that in chapter 14. So now, the whole point here, I'm stopping there, but I just want to back up now. These are these spiritual gifts. How do you defend Paul's argument that each gift is useless without love?
Because God's language is love.
Ah, very good. Keep talking. Talk to me some more. Bruce.
So the spiritual gifts are given for the common good.
Right.
And if you're not doing it with love for the common good, they have no meaning.
Okay, exactly. Very good. Good, Andy.
I have a real life practical example. So about a year ago, I brought in my Buddhist mom and my Buddhist dad to live with us.
Okay.
And that's tough because, you know, Julie and I are pretty fired up with the Lord, right? And so they're praying from like 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I usually get up at about 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'll go down there and try to minister to them. And before they left for Vietnam this last summer, I did it without love. I did it with expectations that I'm going to convert them, I'm going to browbeat them. And it just led to fighting. I got my old anger and rage back. All these old wounds, because, you know, they were pretty mean to me.
Sure.
I'll give you an example. You know, I'm 40 years old. I buy a grill at Home Depot, and the Vietnamese are so paranoid about things being like, you know, floor models that so many people touched it.
Oh, shit.
That they want a brand new shiny model. But I was trying to get a grill, and the brand new grills were all mashed, you know, or just destroyed. I took the second one, it's all destroyed from the pallet. So I bring home this floor model, and my aunt comes in and says, "You're a freaking idiot. You know, you are stupid. You are useless. You know, what are you doing?" I mean, I'm an eye surgeon. I'm an eye surgeon.
Don't you know who I am?
You just shut up. You don't know anything, you old witch. You know, go back to the vacation. Okay, terrible, right? Like World War III in my household. Julie's crying at night. She's worried about bringing in, you know, this adopted child into this family that's going to, you know, be disruptive. But luckily, God sends us to Vietnam for 6 months. It allows Julie and I to like reevaluate what we're doing. Because Julie said, you know what? Gotta love unconditionally.
Very good.
Without anything, you don't expect anything in return. You gotta love them without expecting, you gotta give to the beggar without expecting anything in return. You gotta give to the person who's poor without any expectation of return.
That's
come back. And we do that. Okay? We do that. I switch my brain and try it so hard. And you know what? They're listening now. They're coming to me at 3 o'clock in the morning and listening about Jesus.
Oh,
and now
awesome.
They're putting Jesus with their Buddha. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then now they can share with them,
okay.
You know, you really don't believe.
Yes.
You know, I love you guys. I you know, I care for you. But truly, Jesus is the only way. And this is how it goes. So when he presents to you, please do not, you know, deny him, because he will, you know, send you down the hell.
Easy now, easy. You said that lovingly, didn't you?
I spent eternity with you, and I do love you,
yes,
and I care for you, but I know the truth of it. He's working around me every day.
Very good.
So
I think that's a great illustration. It works. Well, what comes to my mind as John was sharing his testimony, and I just kept thinking, you knew the things, the truth was there, and people were ministering to you and so forth. But what really touched your heart again was the love factor. And you got a guy like a Bob Boyan who's like a pit bull, he's like a pit bull. And he gets a hold of you, but you know that he is ministering, but really because of love. And you got to remember that. Here we have all these abilities. You guys all have these gifts and abilities and all this kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you something. It's how you present it and what comes through you. Are you allowing Christ to love through you?
If it's not love, it's basically judgment.
Talk to me about that. What do you mean?
Well, like Andy said, if your motives aren't love,
okay,
then I was very critical and judgmental.
Oh, okay.
And I think it has to do with your motive.
Yes.
So if I come to you and you have a problem, you need to change. And my motive is, I just like to judge you and be.
Oh, very good. Very, very.
If I come to you and say, good. You have a problem and I'm here to help you.
Yes.
Because I love you.
Very good.
Big difference.
James.
The same issue arises when church is trying to minister to the rest of the world. Yeah. The way that we go about it a lot of times, our message
yes.
has a lot of truth and
yes.
zero love. So.
Never forget this passage. This is a passage that really has impacted my life. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. Doesn't know what it says. And the Word became flesh, and His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of what?
Grace
and truth. Truth and grace always comes together. Saw a couple of hands here. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I have underlined under chapter 13. Love never dies. You have to kill it.
You have to kill it. Very good. Jim.
Yeah, I think you said at the beginning here that Paul's addressing the pride issue.
Right.
I've lived in a situation where the word of the Lord was there, but there was judgment, but there was also manipulation. And I think we've all heard a message from the Lord where our spirits like we perk up, we feel, we sense God's presence in a message, and yet at the same time we also get you hear a so-called good message, and at the same time it's kind of like it like dies on contact, and you just go, dude, what's wrong with that one? It has a gong to it.
Yeah, it does. A gong to it. Fred.
Your statement here, it's more than ability, it's attitude.
Yep.
I think your attitude, to me, covers a lot.
Oh,
because
yes.
I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for your attitude. The approachability, that's the word that I like to use in conjunction with attitudes. Approachability. And empathy.
Very good.
And welcoming.
Right.
And then like it was said before, when he changed his attitude,
yes.
then things
it sure
then
does.
Happened.
Very good. Charlie.
It seems to me that maybe that's why forgiveness is such an important topic.
Very good.
Throughout the Bible, because it's not coming from a place of forgiveness, it's going to be very hard to have that compassion that we talked about.
Absolutely.
And I think we could look at Christ and what he said, which is, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I mean, that's pretty compassionate.
Say, it is.
He didn't even say, I forgive you people
yes.
for what you're doing to me.
Yes.
Because people don't sin against us, they sin against God.
Yes.
And then there was another thing, our gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ.
Yes, exactly right.
If we come from that standpoint, I just think that it puts us in a position where we're not doing these things to glorify ourselves
right.
in the process.
Right.
We're doing it because our we have a mission, and the mission is to strengthen the bride of Christ.
Exactly right. And keep in mind now, again, it's not just functioning, using our abilities, but the Lord also wants to do something within us. So that's why my next question is, what is God's goal? This is on the next page here. What is God's goal for a Christian's life? Would some read Romans 8:29 and someone else find 2 Corinthians 3:18? You got it right here.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay.
So what's God's goal here? To be conformed to what? Likeness of Christ. Someone read 2 Corinthians 18. Who's got that one? I want to hear those pages. Okay, good. Go ahead.
And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image, ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Being transformed. Conform, transform. I mean, conforming, we have the object. Transform is actually the process that is starting to happen in our lives. Always remember, this is God's goal for you. God's goal isn't that, you know, that you are working miracles. Man, I mean, you talk about pride. I mean, I look at this thing. Good grief, if I have the gift of prophecy, man, that would be something else. I could not only proclaim Christ's message with power and authority, and I could talk about the future and all this kind of stuff and with such great authority, or fathom all mysteries. I mean, man, wouldn't that be fantastic if I, you know, you listen to science and all the stuff that's political, all the stuff that's going around here, and man, I've got the answers. Boy, I tell you, I would make like some big head honcho around here. I had all knowledge and all faith and all this kind of stuff. But notice what he says here. Listen, what's God's goal for you? It isn't that you have all these abilities. Are you being more conformed into the image of Christ? Can people begin to see more and more that nature of Christ in you? Can they see that? Andy.
You know, I love that humility essay, because really in Corinthians, Paul says this: though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many possible. Oh. To the Jews, I became like a Jew.
Yes.
To win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under
right.
the law, though I myself am not under the law.
Yeah.
So as to win those under the law.
Yes.
To those not having the law, I became like one not having law, though I am not freed from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. But to win those not having the law,
yes.
the weak, I became the weak to win
very
the weak.
Good.
And he goes on and on. So
very, very good.
If you're not humble, how can you hang with the weak?
There you go.
That's
exactly right.
So to be like Christ,
exactly
you
right.
gotta be humble and
yes.
be able to wash
yes.
another person's feet.
I know it. Powerful, isn't it? Now, when you stop and think about this, yeah, but think about this now. My very next question, what then is the difference between gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit?
Nine.
Yeah, nine or eight, huh? Now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That was 1 Corinthians 9:17.
Yes. Yes. So, I'm asking a question now. Go ahead.
I think of it as the difference between sprinklers and lawn.
Sprinklers and lawn, okay.
Gifts of the Spirit are to...
Okay.
Gifts of the Spirit are to create, are the way that these things are created. The fruits of the Spirit are what...
It's like the lawn. That's what's growing here. I saw a hand over. Yes, please, Lori.
Well, the gifts of the Spirit come from God, and the fruit of the Spirit is from what God gives us, we give to others.
Okay.
Fruit.
Okay. Fruit. Keep this in mind now. Gifts are doing, fruit is being. They're both from God. They're both from God. Both from God. Gifts are abilities to bless, to benefit the body of Christ. These are my abilities. Fruit is who I am, What is my attitude in what I'm doing? How am I doing it? For whose glory am I doing this? One is out here, the other comes from here. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or you might have another one, attitudes versus aptitudes. One is a byproduct of a healthy relationship with the Lord, whereas the other is abilities given by the Holy Spirit. See? Yes, Jim?
In my industry, I guess I see the gifts is like Miracle-Gro fertilizer. It's put to the ground, and the results are bigger fruit on
the lawn.
The tree, the lawn thing.
Yes.
So
I like that illustration. My favorite illustration has always been, you know, a Christmas tree with a fruit tree. You know, a Christmas tree. I said, I love a Christmas tree. Look at the Christmas, all the ornaments and all the stuff that's on it. But what kind of tree is that? Well, I don't know. Let's take all the stuff off. We'll find out. But a fruit tree, now you see the fruit. Now you know what is going on. You know, it's growing and it's got fruit. You know, it's a lemon tree or an apricot or apple, whatever it is. That's the fruit. But Christmas tree looks good, beautiful, and, you know, and serves a purpose. But there's a difference. Dick.
Yeah. I always think of the gifts as tools that God gives.
Very good.
And that, if you
yes.
use them wisely.
Very good.
And, you know, an example I think of that, if you, somebody gives you a wrench, and if you use it for plumbing work, it works fine. If you slam it as a hammer, you just destroy it.
You got it exactly right. Well said, Charlie.
We are given gifts, and we could choose not to use them for God's
yes.
purposes.
Yeah.
But if we submit to the will of God, it's like the story
yeah.
about the vine that Jesus said,
yes.
if you abide in him, you will bear much fruit.
Yes.
And that fruit will bring you joy.
Very good. Very, very good. Go ahead, Bob.
I like to stick to what he's describing here. You have an apple tree. The tree is an apple tree. That's the gift. It bears apples, which is good to whoever wants to use them. Lemon tree, and so on and so forth. So the fruit, you got the gift is that tree that gives that kind of fruit.
Great.
Which is usable by anyone who will partake in it.
Okay. But the point, I mean, it's a great illustration, but if you're going to deal with the problem, the illustration, you know, you get a little more struggle with illustration. All I'm trying to get you to understand here is that there's a difference between gifts and fruit. The fruit is on the inside. The fruit is now the character of Christ. The gifts is the ministry of Christ. Okay? It's the ministry, what you're doing. But it needs to be, when you're doing what Christ, you know, would have you to do, it has to come from a new character. Chuck.
Would you say the fruit is the manifestation of gift?
No, the gift should be the manifestation of fruit. In other words, mm-hmm. it's your fruit, and it should be done with that love, but you're functioning, you know, you're doing certain things out there. Go ahead.
You know, this fruit making really hungry.
Well, we got some lemons back here. Right over there. Go, help yourself.
The point I want to make, though, is that if you just basically have one fruit that you eat all the time, you're not going to be very healthy. So this is love of body of Christ. We ought to work together.
Okay.
If we got to bring our fruit to the table, then now we have a more, you know, a complete buffet.
Well.
Complete meal.
Well, let's make sure that you keep in mind what Paul talked about. Look back again at Galatians chapter 5. Understand what the fruit is, okay? Making you hungry, but make sure you understand what this fruit is, okay? 23-24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, it's basically what it's saying here is that with gifts, I may have one or two gifts. The fruit is something, all of these things should be maturing more and more in you. All of it. Because you've got love, and out of love flows all these characteristic attributes. Gifts, I may have one or two or three of those gifts. That's not, you know, so I function. The fruit, if I love, amazingly, there's going to be joy, there's going to be peace, all these things just kind of flow right out of that.
The attitude.
Huh?
The attitude.
Attitude.
Very good.
Howard. Howard.
I was just saying that instead of gifts bearing fruit, it might be here where fruit bears gifts.
I think so. It should the way it should be. Let's put it that way. What Paul is addressing here, it wasn't happening. Daryl.
At the end of 23, it says, against such things, there is no law.
Right. Exactly. Let it flow. Okay? Now, a couple other things here. I'm going to skip this next one here. Why might it be easier to use a spiritual gift without love? Why could it be easier to use your spiritual gift without love? James?
It makes me feel better.
Okay. Here's John's testimony and the whole thing. You know, you say, John, you know, I want to teach you, I want to share with you, blah, blah. Now, what Bob did, he not only was teaching you, he gave his life. He put his arm around you. He walked with you. Sometimes it's easier to tell a person or use your spiritual gift and mercy, do a few things, all this kind of thing, and then say, okay, now, you know, if you need me again, I'll be around. Something else with love to say, but hey, I'm available. I'll be there. Gary, I'll be there for you.
An evangelist becomes just an orator. There's no connection.
No connection.
No connection with what he's speaking to. He's
exactly right.
He's just giving a speech.
A speech. So David.
You didn't hear what he said, but his answer was to you.
James.
Who's that?
James.
James? Oh, speak up, James. Speak up.
I can't say it up, Derek.
Derek?
James is not on yet.
Okay, so, go ahead. So
I said it's very satisfying. It's very self-shattering sometimes. It feels good to do, to use your gifts because it makes you feel better.
But you don't get involved with the person.
Right.
See, no lack of connection. Bruce.
You asked how it could be easier. Well, one way it can be easier is if I don't really worry about how it's affecting you, I just plow right through and get it done.
Right, right. And I was thinking of Andy's illustration too. You know, so here you are, you're doing things for your parents and you're telling them, and next thing you know, it frustrates you, but you still did certain things, but the love wasn't there. And sometimes it's easier to do that than to have to deal with the people with the problems. And okay, retort.
Personal, encounter with using gifts for badness too, because I was an atheist since I was 30 years old.
Right.
And so I was self-consuming. This work, I can go on and on, but that's my testimony. But literally, what I find is that what Jesus teaches about, our love of money and power versus loving Him.
Right.
That is the ultimate sin.
Yes.
There are so many people
right.
who are so look at money or
yes.
even the power associated with money, and they covet that.
Yes.
And they worship that. And they use their gift for that sole purpose.
Very good.
That is so hard. I've seen it.
Yes.
When people get wealthy, they lose track that God was the one
that
blessed
right.
them.
Exactly
and
right.
All of a sudden, it's like, oh, I did this.
Yes.
There was not
so
God,
true.
It was me.
That's exactly right.
And I worked so hard. I deserved
yes.
this.
Right.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's why I love Tim Tebow. Look at him.
Exactly.
I mean, you see the last game against the Pittsburgh Steelers? He put 316. Yeah. John,
I hear you. I hear you.
Exactly 316 yards.
I know.
What he prays, though? Lord, win or lose, let me glorify you.
Absolutely.
Win or lose.
That's right.
He doesn't ask to win.
That's right.
Win or lose, let me glorify
That's
you,
right.
Lord.
That's what's important.
Exactly.
I got Derek back there. He's...
A couple of different things that go along with that. One of them is if you're using without love, a lot of it has to do with trying to do your own personal agenda. And I think that to your point, what you're talking about with what people have talked about is in regards to it, is that anytime you go into an action or you're using some gifts, is that your, you know, our spiritual gifts, is sort of take a look and say, you know, sort of do a double check on yourself and ask him and say, is this for your, is this for God's glory?
Right.
Is this being done in love? Is this what, you know, whose glory or who, why am I doing it? What I think that I'm about to do.
That's good. Larry, last word. I've got to close, okay? Larry, go ahead. You had a chance.
It's like the Church of Ephesus. They were a working church, a very successful church.
Right.
They had discernment, works, and everything. And Jesus said, but I have this against you because you've left your first love.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And always keep that in mind. You know, your first love, that branches into two things. Your first love for Jesus, but it's also your first love you had for each other. Because they were very good at finding the heretics amongst them, and they became very critical, but it was a love factor amongst them. Okay, we're going to pick it up again at section number 2. Do your homework, and we'll move right along. Let's bow in prayer, shall we? Gracious Father, thank you so much. Lord, keep teaching us what it really means to have you live your life in us and through us. Lord, tragically, we so often have a relationship with you whereby we want to order you around. We expect you're sort of the big Buddha in our lives, and we kind of rub you on the tummy, and we expect you then to jump as to what we want. But Father, help us to realize that we belong to you. Your Spirit dwells within us, and you've given us abilities by your Holy Spirit. But Lord, help us to be involved in your work and your ministry with your spirit of love. And teach us, Lord, that as you have loved us, Lord, you also call us to not only to love you, but to love each other. And so, Father, I pray that as we see, look around us and we see the needs of people, give us a passion, give us a heart, give us eyes to see with your heart, and be able to function as truly a body of Christ. Thank you for the go with each of us, and to keep us sensitive to what you're doing. We pray in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.